I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Lord willing, in the second message, I want to preach out of Psalm 26. And actually, I want to say a few comments out of verse 8 in the second message. Psalm 26, verse 8. And in preparation for that message, this morning, my heart was drawn to preach what I want to preach first. So I'm saying all that to say this. What I want to preach concerning the mercy of God in prayer, I want to preach to prepare our hearts for what we shall, Lord willing, look at in the second message. There's a glorious privilege that is possessed by the people of God concerning their communion with the Lord. And this is the blessed privilege. They pray. In Matthew 6, verse 5 and 6, the Lord said, "And when thou prayest," now listen, I pray that God give us some understanding here. "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Prayer is personal. Now, I know that when we come together as an assembly of believers, as Brother Neil just did, he read some scripture and led us in prayer. But we're here as a family. We're here as a family. We're the family of God. And we fellowship together as God's people. And as one leads in private prayer in this assembly, we're all in fellowship one with the other. And we agree in what's being said. But when we are in public, our Lord is teaching us something concerning prayer. When it comes to public prayer, I'm talking about just out in public, not here. "Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? Don't be as the hypocrites. They love to stand in the synagogue, which is a place that you would think it would be offered in prayer. They love to stand, though, and here's the reason. They want to be seen of men. They want to stand on the corners of the streets. They want to go into places where people meet. They want to go where people eat. They said, "We want to be a witness." No, you want to be seen of men. That's what the Lord says. This is the reason you're doing it. They want to be seen of men. Can we not thank our Lord for our food while we prepare to eat? Don't be as the hypocrites are. But while God's people truly pray, they do. Turn over to Romans 8 while I'm making this statement here, 8, 26 and 27. While the Lord's people truly pray, the Holy Scriptures reveal something of our inability concerning prayer. But also in our inability, there's a great blessing from the Lord that is declared to be happening in the very hour of our inability. When we go into our closet to pray, don't be as the hypocrites are. Don't do that. When you pray, you go into your closet and you shut the door and you pray to your Father in secret. Your Father which heareth and seeth in secret. He's going to reward you openly. But even while we're praying, Romans 8, 26 and 27 sets forth something of our inability and the blessing in the midst of our inability. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He that searcheth the hearts, the Lord God himself. Man looks on the outside, God looks on the heart. And the Spirit of God, because we don't know what to pray, we don't know what to ask, we don't know what to say, we've got things that truly are on our hearts, and we do call upon the Lord, but we don't know what to ask. But the Spirit of God helpeth us with groanings that can't be uttered. But in the midst of praying and struggling, while we pray and struggle in prayer, I want to consider for a moment the mercy of God toward us. Listen, we have turned to Hebrews 7, 7, 24 to 27 is what I'm going to read. We have a great high priest. Hebrews 7. And our great high priest approaches the throne of God as our mediator, as our advocate, one who was made flesh, God himself, who was made flesh and walked this earth in perfect obedience, who satisfied the law of God on the behalf of his people, put away their guilt. And now our great high priest, Scripture declares, according to his own merit and his own shed blood, prays for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. God's people pray. God's people struggle in prayer because they don't know what to pray. The Spirit of God makes intercession for us. Our great high priest ever liveth to make intercession, pleads his own merit on the behalf of his people. Now I want you to turn with me to Revelation 8. Revelation 8. As a precious passage of Scripture. We've considered it before. I want to consider it for a moment longer. That wonderfully opens unto us the glory and the preciousness of our Lord's intercession. It's a passage which reveals God's blessing to his people in our prayer that we don't know what to pray. We don't know what to pray. We're ignorant people. We desire to pray. We want to pray. And we do pray. But we don't know what to pray. But our Lord takes the prayer, the prayers of his people. And here's what happens. Revelation 8. I want to read verses 1 to 4. And when he had opened the seventh seal. Now here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that book back in Revelation 5. There was a book that was held in the hand of him that sits on the throne. It was sealed with seven seals. And he took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. And the 24 elders and four beasts fell down before him, praising him. You've redeemed us out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. You're worthy. You're worthy. Here's these seals. It's sealed. Here's a seal. The revelation of God's mercy to his people. And here, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angels' hand. Now, here stands the great high priest himself. Here is the messenger, the angel of the covenant, in whom the bride finds all of her delight. Here's the intercessor of the church. And the Lord Jesus himself is the one who stands at the altar of incense. And the scripture declares that he holds a golden censer. Now there was a golden censer. There was one used by Aaron on the Day of Atonement. And so we here see that which was pictured. We see here in the book of Revelation that which was placed. It was given unto him. It's a marvelous thing. Another angel, verse 3, came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, the Lord Jesus. And there was given unto him the whole work of redemption was given unto him. There was a work given by the Father. All that was required for the acceptance of the saints, the people of God, was laid into his hands. All power is given unto the Son. Why? That he should give eternal life to as many as the Father's given him. This is the marvelous declaration of the gospel. As I've said before, everywhere you go, it's an offer to be accepted. I'm not offering you anything. I'm declaring unto you that which God Almighty has set forth as what he's done. And if the Spirit of God takes the truth of this and takes out a heart of flesh and gives you a new heart, God's going to regenerate you. He's going to save you. I'm telling you, this is what happens. This is what happens before the throne of God. Much incense was given unto him. All these herbs, beautiful fragrances, all characteristics, setting forth the glory of his person. And here, this angel comes and stands before the throne with the much incense, which is his merit. That's what that incense set forth. That sweet savor unto God. And here he is, the one the scripture says in John 17:4, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me do. That's the essence of that incense right there. And verse 4 of Revelation 8 says, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands, the Lord Jesus, the exalted Savior of the bride. He now, his work, his finished work, him perfumes heaven with the savor of his obedience and his shed blood. Here the smoke of his incense and merit ascends up before God and fills heaven itself with the work of his atonement, the work of his grace. How wonderfully comforting and cheerful it is to behold the love and the care that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his bride. These angels sound trumpets. Now this Almighty God's going to judge this world. But before he pours out judgment upon this world, all those left to themselves in disobedience, he's going to pray for his people. He's going to pray for them. And the scripture says, and here's the marvelous, verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints. Are you talking about those prayers that they didn't know what to pray? They were ignorant in prayers, and the Spirit of God helped them with groanings that they couldn't utter, couldn't be uttered. You're talking about those prayers, prayers that you and I try to pour our hearts up to God, and we don't know what to say, and we stammer. Yes, those prayers. That none of us know what to pray. Those prayers are taken and they're presented before God in his merit. And that which we didn't know what to say, the Spirit of God who helps us, Lord presents them before the throne. And they're accepted according to his merit. That's the very foundation of praying. We pray. God's people pray. They don't know what to pray. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to ask. But the Spirit of God helps them. And those prayers that are truly from a heart of love toward him are taken by the great high priest, and in his glorious merit, that prayer is offered unto God according to his work, his obedience, his faithfulness. And they're accepted in the beloved. I pray that God bless just this thought, that little thought. Not a little thought, glorious thought. But those few words, let me say it like that. Because Lord willing, in just a few minutes, I want to preach out of Psalm 26. And there we, by the grace of God, shall behold our great high priest as he prays for us. And I pray the Lord bless it for his glory and our good. Amen. Okay.